You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 10.
A good buddy, Marcellus Wiley, will check in here in just a moment. Tee up the Monday Nighter, Seattle, Chicago. Get his take on the kickers being cut throughout the NFL. How he felt about Vontae Davis retiring. Did he quit? Did he retire? I mean, maybe it's semantics in the end. One in the
Pittsburgh.
Same. The mess in Pittsburgh. They're 0-1-1, and they look like a disaster.
Yeah.
And now Antonio Brown, did you see him on Twitter today? Where someone took a shot at him that used to work for the Steelers, saying basically he got paid because of Roethlisberger and he's a systems quarterback.
He tweets out, trade me now and let's see if you're right.
Right.
And he, by the way, chewed out his offensive coordinator yesterday.
They're just a mess, man.
Yeah, they're a mess.
It does look like a mess.
I think Mike Tomlin, who I think Pittsburgh's loyal to their coaches, they have been. He's in trouble.
He's in big trouble.
Yeah.
Remember last year they were looking well past Jacksonville, and the Jags rolled into Pittsburgh and smacked them around. And they were talking about meeting the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and we're bigger and better than them, and we're going to get after them. They always feel like they're unprepared. They're too cocky. You know, they're always spitting off about different things. Just the Le'Veon Bell stuff in and of itself. Before the season starts, you're getting ready for a new season, and these guys are popping off about a holdout where that would never happen in New England with Belichick. And I know Belichick is held to a higher standard because he deserves to be, but there are a lot of different places around the league that wouldn't allow that. They wouldn't allow for their players to be talking about things that have nothing to do with the game.
Right.
Looking and sounding so, you know, just a complete lack of focus. That's kind of how it felt like to me in Pittsburgh. And now they're all 1-1, and people are freaking out.
And they should. I mean, it looks like chaos to me there. And it's not going to get better.
They got a ton of talent, but they're in tough, man, because the Browns could be 2-0. If they had a kicker, they'd be 2-0.
This kicker situation is fascinating.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's the level of like a backup goaltender, but it's close. Because the backup goaltender's got
similar category.
But a goalie's got to play the whole game, and they're a factor in winning and losing a lot, just like a kicker. But the kicker is...
it's so focused.
Right.
You know, like you look at the Vikings who cut this Carlson kid. If he makes that field goal, like a 35-yard field goal, they win the game.
Yeah.
Like the difference between the Vikings winning the game and losing the game is on that guy's foot.
Yeah.
And he pushes it right for the third time and he gets cut. And the thing is, there's no backup kicker. Teams don't hold backups. They don't place them on the practice squad. They don't give them opportunities to find themselves.
So he couldn't have been pulled yesterday.
Exactly. You can't pull the guy and be like, I'm putting somebody out there.
Which is crazy. Like, if I got a bad vibe about a kicker early on, I'd love the ability to just say, you're not going back out there.
Well, why can't you have a second one sitting right there?
But it all comes down to roster manipulation and stuff like that. But that was one thing that Zimmer took some heat for yesterday in Minnesota was, if you know this guy doesn't have any mojo, and he's going out there and you know his mind is racing, why even take the kick? Take a shot at the end zone. Like, don't even allow yourself to take a kick, unless it's like a 10-yard chip shot. You know what I mean? But they're running out of clock. It was overtime. But still, man, I mean.
Minnesota had a brutal missed kick in the playoffs, I think, a couple years ago, too.
Yeah, they did. That was against Seattle at home, remember?
It was crushing.
Yeah, that guy got cut.
you see a lot.
That was to tie, right? It was to tie the game.
I think it was, yes.
A lot of players.
Or maybe win by a point or
something. I remember that. A lot of players are versatile. That's why I wonder if there's like a third string quarterback that could kick chip shot a 30-yarder.
I would think you're in that position if the guy gets hurt, right? Like if some guy gets hurt.
You've got to think with all those players being around football for so long, somebody could go up to the coach and say, I can kick better than that guy right now.
I think that's also the problem the kickers
have. And that's easier said than done.
So exactly, though. Yeah. That's the thing about this position. Is everybody's like, I could make that kick. Yeah. 30 yards? Are you kidding me? Laces out?
But we don't know if maybe the holder, could the holder get in trouble for all of this too?
Sometimes, you know, if it's a bad snap or you don't get the laces out.
Right.
Or, you know, say nothing of 65,000 lunatics in the stadium yelling at you.
Right, and there's so many things that go into it. It's not just us saying, oh, I should have made that 8-foot putt.
Exactly.
There's a lot of pressure. I get that and I understand it. I'm just saying, only one person. Every other position has multiple players. There's backups. There's, and if you don't have an opportunity to go to another guy, you're hooped.
There's only so many instances in team sports where a guy is on his own.
Right.
And the only two I can think of on the fly here, I guess baseball, putting baseball aside, because technically you're up there on your own if you're batting.
Right.
But I think of a guy trying to hit, or pitching. But a guy trying to hit free throws late in the game. Like, if you got to hit two free throws to tie the game or win the game, it's all on you.
Right.
And if you miss that, people are going to be like, are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah.
It's a free throw. How many of those have you shot in your life?
Shootout in hockey.
Shootout in hockey, although that's such a strange, you know, it's not really a part of the
everyday
flow.
I just know the feeling of standing at center ice by yourself, and you're like,
I have to score here.
This is so much
different
of a feeling than playing in the game.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay,
everyone's
shootout.
Everyone's looking at me, and it's on my stick. And
free throw, shootout. Kicker.
Kicking.
Yeah, it's a team sport, but you're on your own, and if you screw up, it's like, what are you doing? The difference is, shootout, you're shooting against a goalie. He can make a great stop.
Right, yeah, he can.
Kicking, man, you got to get it through the post. Free throw, you just got to hit the net, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And it's all on you. Here's Marcellus Wiley, co-host of Speak for Yourself on FS1, longtime NFL All-Pro defensive end, and our main man back on the show. What's happening, Marcellus?
Oh, doing great, guys. How's it going up there?
Well, we're talking kickers, man, and how inhumane the criticism constantly is. People just kick them to the curb. They get cut on a whim, and there were a couple of guys cut, one in Minnesota, one in Cleveland. But as a player, do you have any respect for kickers? What did you expect out of kickers?
Oh, tremendous respect for kickers. I'm not one of those meatheads who sits there and bashes the kickers and then is the same guy on all fours begging at the end of the game for them to make the same kick. I always have a high level of respect for what they do. And it's a very difficult task. We don't get graded on 1 through 5 plays of our performance. We get graded on 60, 80 plays if you're offensive, defensive player. But a kicker goes into the highest leverage moments, most pressure field, and then is expected to do everything 1 to 5 times. And that's going to be his entire performance. Definitely, they're graded on a different scale. So I feel for those kickers, but at the same time, that's the nature of the beast. They signed up for that. There's some rewards to that as well. They have easy practice sessions. They don't practice with us. They don't get hit like we do. They wear red jerseys and get protected like quarterbacks. They play into their 45, if not longer. So there's benefits. And there's obviously some issues with it as well, but you got to make those kicks. This is how the game goes, especially when there are a 35-yarder or an overtime kick. Figure it out, find a way, but get it done.
Marcellus, what do you make of what's happening in Pittsburgh? Is it as simple as bring Le'Veon Bell back? I mean, is Tomlin in trouble? Antonio Brown was freaking out on the coach yesterday, sending out tweets. It's a bit of a disaster right now. What do you make of what's going on there?
Yeah, I think Tomlin should be fine. I don't even think he should be on a hot seat, or his name or his legacy should be tarnished by a few incidents, and we all know those incidents. You can even go back to last year and the issue with the anthem and divided locker room. Look, let's start with the most winning coach in football, and Bill Belichick, who some say is the greatest football coach of all time. There was an implosion on this team allegedly last year from all the issues that they had, from Tom Brady, Gronkowski this offseason, Malcolm Butler. And that's the most winning coach in NFL that's active. Right behind him, second most winning coach is Mike Tomlin. So in terms of wins and losses, what's most important? Tomlin's doing an amazing job. He sits there, and he's trying to deal with all these dynamic personalities. You got a franchise quarterback who wants to retire until he realizes, hey, you drafted in my position. I don't really want to help the guy, but I want to play forever. And you got a star receiver who's such a dynamic personality that he wants the ball every single play, and he's such a tremendous talent, deservingly so. But it's a lot to contain, but that's a 13-win team last year. And, yeah, they fell short of winning a Super Bowl, but still had a tremendous year despite issues. And I think this year is going to be the same. They're going to have their hiccups. They're going to have their issues. But I still think they're fine.
With Marcellus Wiley, big news today. Josh Gordon traded from the Browns to the Patriots. How do you feel about that move?
Yeah, the conversation is it a Randy Moss move or is it a Chad Ochocinco move? How does it play out? How does it work? I think that he should come into it so humbled by his experience in Cleveland and the fact that you get to play with Tom Brady. This is not Tyrod Taylor. This is not all the quarterbacks of yesteryear and Johnny Manziel and others. This is Tom Brady. So all the excuses go out the window. Put up or shut up. And I know he's had his issues off the field and his substance abuse issues, but if you can't make it work with Tom Brady, you know what the NFL thinks. You're not worth it, you're not good, and you can't make it work anywhere. So I expect a humble soul to come into there and use all that talent that he has. He has a tremendous skill set. Hopefully it all works out for him.
Yeah. Did something else happen in Cleveland? Or, like, apparently this isn't the substance abuse issue, why they wanted to move away from him. How did this come about?
Yeah, they said he had a promotional shoot.
And he kind of pulled his hamstring or something.
Yeah, exactly. So you're doing too much on a promotional shoot. With your history and the lack of participation you've had with this organization and all the headaches you've caused, the last thing we want to hear is that you got hurt taking pictures. So, you know, when that happens, I think it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back. And we all know what that really means. It's not this one isolated incident. It's the collection of all the other incidents, and you just say, hey, enough's enough.
Yeah, and that's why I think Belichick will have the same approach. It's the epitome of a low-risk, high-reward move for me. I go to him first day. I say, "This: if you're 1 second late, you're cut. If you talk back to me, you're cut. If I hear that you're out too late, you're cut."
Right.
Like, it's that simple, right? You can immediately cut him again. The Pats have been down this road many times with other players in the past.
Exactly, and that's the fire that he needs lit. I think that if you light that fire under him, you might get all of that potential that kept Cleveland continuously coming back to him. The reason why they didn't break up before today is because they saw that talent. And Belichick, hey, you got to go grab a guy like that who's on the right side of 30 and make sure you can get as much of that talent out of that player. And New England's the best place in the NFL of extracting talent from guys who still have something to give to the game. So we'll see if it works.
Bigger surprise, bigger shock for you through 2 weeks, the production of Patrick Mahomes or the production of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Wow. That's impossible to answer because for two different reasons. I went to the first game against the Chargers, Kansas City, and immediately I'm sitting there telling my wife that this guy's special. Not good. Not going to be great, but he is special. Not only is this his arm talent, his arm strength and accuracy, but his mental moxie. And he's playing for Andy Reid. Like, you're playing for a mastermind that's an offensive genius. You have every weapon imaginable to the point where the Black Mamba, DeAnthony Thomas, is like your third, fourth receiver. Like, it's insane how much talent they have and how talented he is. But if you look at what's going on in Tampa Bay, based on expectations and Fitzpatrick coming into the fold, we've seen him play well before in the league, so I'm not as surprised, but he's doing it in a way that Jameis never did it with the same team. And now he's winning off the field with the press conference and his intelligence and his humor. So if I had to choose, I would say Mahomes, just because, hey, we're talking about a second-year player in his third career start, who's already set an NFL record. So that's next level.
Those are positive quarterbacking stories. A negative one is Eli Manning. Is this guy, he looks like an old man out there. Like, do you see him bouncing back from this?
No. Look, it's not over for Eli, but
it looks it.
The highlights are in the rearview mirror, man. It's just, he, like you said, he looks like out of sorts at times. Whether it's a bad offensive line, which will make any quarterback look worse, or it's just the fact that he doesn't have the same awareness, the same ability with the arm talent, he just doesn't look like not only an elite quarterback, but just a consistently good quarterback. He's really going to hurt this team because they have some weapons on the perimeter and Saquon Barkley as well, but that offensive line is not doing him any favors. And let's be real, he's not being the best at his position to even save face right now. I've always said of his brother, Peyton Manning, that Peyton Manning was always the best offensive lineman on his team because he had the awareness. He had the ability to know when to get the ball out of his hand and when to deliver it to the weapons. Seemed like Eli lost that same ability that his brother possessed.
Well, and what's amazing here is almost every other quarterback is putting up like record stats, like Madden-level stats. And we referenced this earlier. The Giants have been put up 30-plus points in 34 games, like since week 17 of 2014 or something like that. And to put this into perspective, I saw this on Twitter earlier this morning, and it might just be an outlier, it may just be a coincidence in 1 week. But yesterday, the NFL had an average passer rating of 105.1. And again, to put that into perspective, Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating, 103.9. So yesterday, on average, quarterbacks were playing better than Aaron Rodgers. Right. Like that tells me the league is getting what it wants. It's a quarterback league. You can't touch them. Talk to Clay Matthews about that. That call on Clay Matthews yesterday was an absolute abomination of a call. And receivers can't be touched. I mean, as a defensive guy, when you hear a stat like that, Marcellus, on average, 105.1, does that make you want to throw up? I mean, what do you make of that?
Yeah, man, you said a lot there. I will agree that the NFL is getting exactly what they want. Football has changed from sport to just entertainment product. And I saw that evolution. You've seen that evolution. I played through that evolution. And I get it. The farther I get away from the game, I understand that, hey, it's the lesser of all evils, which is make it as much flag football as possible. Everyone loves touchdowns. We all say we love defensive battles. No, we don't. We're not watching 3-0 games. We hate 6-3 games. We hate it. So we like Super Bowls when it's 41-33. We like that. We want to see that. So they're getting what they want. I will disagree with the assessment of Clay Matthews' play, because on first glimpse, I agree with you. I was like, woo, they're calling that? That's not an infraction. But by the spirit of the rule, he was innocent. But by the letter of the rule, he was guilty. And I tell you how. If you watch it again, look at his body as the referees look at it. We call it sea level. That means flat. Now, when you're trying to make a tackle, the purpose of a tackle is to bring someone to the ground. So if you're trying to tackle a quarterback, your body should go lower than sea level, and then the quarterback goes lower than sea level, we have a tackle. But if you watch that play carefully, his body actually lifts up. It goes above sea level. Why would your body go above sea level if you're trying to bring someone down? Naturally, it would do the opposite. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I've been there before. When you're trying to send a message, when you're trying to put an exclamation on it, when you're trying to give a little oomph, you go up to come down because that's just a little more weight. Watch his left leg. Watch his hip. He kind of goes up to go down. I know it's ticky-tack. I know it's nitpicking. But by the letter of the law, he actually was guilty of what he did.
Well, I'm biased as a Packers fan, but I hate that that's true. I hate that it's true. And I know the Vikings got clipped for a cheesy one earlier in the game, and we've seen it through 2 weeks. But I don't like what I'm seeing, man. Like that. I get, you know, don't take out the knees, don't take out the head, but that's a kill shot shoulder to chest to me. And if that's being taken out, man, we are in for a long haul here. The game softened up.
It's changed. The complexion of NFL football as you know it is like Eli Manning playing great football. It's all behind you.
Right,
it's
exactly. All in the past. It's in the rear view. Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 Clear-Out event, where you can get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. At Clay Matthews, that would have been it. That was a pick. That was going the other way. That would have been the game. Packers 2-0. Vikings 1-1. Another tie. Back-to-back weeks with ties.
It's ridiculous. I'm not a fan of it.
I'm not a fan of it either. I'd rather they find a way to determine a winner, but they're not going to change it now. You know, maybe in the off season if we see more ties.
Were you furious last night?
Two weeks in a row. You got to change it. Do what the college kids do, whatever. 25-yard line, get it over with.
I'd be all for that. I mean, that's where the game's going anyway. It's all about offense and putting up numbers.
So the equivalent of the shootout. Find something.
Yeah, but people will complain about that, though. What do we know about sports and society?
Yeah.
You make a drastic change, people are going to complain about
it.
So they're probably damned if they do, damned if they don't. Whoever runs the Maple Leafs PR Twitter account is probably hating life. We'll tell you why next. Tavares is going to make his debut tomorrow night. Kadri's going to be there. Marner's going to be there. Three former London Knights. So that'll be cool. You know, it's in the London area. There'll be a lot of Leaf fans down there. But I feel for whoever runs and operates the Maple Leaf PR Twitter account.
Yeah.
Because they sent this tweet out. Just simply the roster for tomorrow night.
Yeah, somebody just, an intern, here, do this.
Here, take a picture of this and post it out there for Twitter. First response, yay, now sign Nylander. Second one, sign Nylander. Third one, I got the notification for this tweet and thought Nylander got signed. Fourth one, announced Nylander. Like, you got to think whoever's running this is like, dude, CC Kyle Dubas, send that guy a tweet. I am an intern. I posted the lineup tomorrow night. Leave me alone.
That's exactly what they're thinking.
Stop asking me about Nylander. Like, every single tweet is, well, what about Nylander? Well, why'd you send this out without something about Nylander? Because they don't have anything on William Nylander.
Yeah.
He hasn't signed yet. And believe me, when he signs, they'll tweet it out. But the last guy in the organization to know about the signing
is the person who made that tweet.
Will be the intern who posted the lineup for tomorrow night's game.
What has been the greatest announcement of signing recently? Did you like the Sagan?
I thought it was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant.
The Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really well done.
That was very well done.
I thought it was out. And then they announced, you know, the year, the term, everything. Like, that's it was very creative. Maybe they do something with Willie. What would you do for Willie's signing?
I tweeted out jokingly that he's going to show up the way Ryan Fitzpatrick showed up yesterday for his presser.
Beard, long hair.
He's got the blonde hair, beard, chest hair, big chain. Because Lou's not around, you could probably pull it off. I don't know what you do, but you got to try to top Dallas because that was really,
that was,
really
I
well
thought
done.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
They it's did nice. A really good little job. Bit of creativity. Fans enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know who's already annoying me?
Who?
That Vegas Twitter account again. The Golden Knights. You see how annoying they were last night?
They're so annoying. That's the worst Twitter account in the league. Like, they just...
Like, Pacioretty scored. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, great.
First goal as a Golden Knight. We get it.
We understand it. And believe me, I know what other fans are going to say.
What were they saying last night?
Tavares scores tomorrow night.
One game, one goal.
Yeah.
I don't even follow it. It just shows up on my feed because other people...
I follow it, but you think it's our buddy?
Jerry Lawless?
No. I don't think Jerry would be doing that.
No.
I think it could be.
Are you serious?
Like, he would run and operate that?
His role in Vegas is not, isn't it communications?
No, he's an insider.
I don't know exactly how you would define his role. Like, he's kind of the spokesman for the, like, he runs and operates the website and stuff.
Correct.
I think technically he's Vegas insider. We'd have to look that up.
But I believe that maybe... Wouldn't you feel like his fingertips would be on that?
I don't know.
You know how when you read something and you can tell it's not a person? That's not Gary.
Yeah, that's
I don't think he's got that kind of sense.
I know
of humor.
The LA Kings is written by like two comedians or something. You could tell. I thought the Kings were like the first. Weren't they the first on Twitter to kind of start?
One of them, like
taking jabs, having some fun and stuff,
creating beef with other team Twitter accounts.
I thought the Kings were the first to do that.
Yeah, and everyone's doing it now.
Yeah,
and everyone's trying to be overly creative. And believe me, if Tavares scores tomorrow night, it'll be. Yeah. Leafs Twitter account will be doing the same
thing. Well, no, you won't even need the Leafs Twitter account because chances are the people that we follow, like I don't know how many times I'm calling a game in Ottawa and I'll just check my Twitter feed and every person that I follow is usually either at the game or watching the Leaf game and it's, you know, Kristen Shilton, Matthew Scores, and then it's, you know, it's whoever.
Right,
I like this one in the
Myrtle,
morning
and
skate.
It's all these guys.
So-and-so first out for the Blackhawks morning skate.
Yeah.
Why did they tweet that?
I don't know. I mean, that's their job. They're in the
building. It's journalism now. Exactly. You're there covering it. That's why you have Twitter.
But something will happen and my Twitter feed will just fill up and I'll be like, oh, I wonder if the Leafs just scored. Or something like that.
Yeah.
You're right. Tavares' first goal It's going to be both companies following the Leafs.
Oh, we're all going to have the same jokes.
All their insiders, everyone's, you know.
Looking comfortable.
There we go, yeah.
Like, it's going to be, who can top the other guy with the obviously corny John Tavares joke?
Well, it's going to happen.
Or line or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're putting, I mean, they're putting their beat.
The first game, man.
Yeah.
I mean, appears to be the case coming out of the weekend is the focus is on the defense and who's battling for spots. And, you know, Babcock was talking about Travis Dermott and saying how he's got to come in and realize he's got to fight for a job, which is totally appropriate.
Right.
I don't think he's played 40 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, he was a third pairing guy. I like him a lot. Right. I find it hard to believe he's not going to break camp with the team, but Babcock's always going to pick out a couple of guys and make sure that they stay in line.
You give
and
him a jolt.
Yeah, exactly. He's done that with Kapanen in the past couple of years. He's doing it with Janssen this year.
How are we pronouncing number 92?
Odogazov?
Is that what it is?
I think it's
Odogazov.
How do you really pronounce it, though? It's Ozhiganov, I believe.
I didn't know.
But he's number 92.
I'm glad that I'm calling the game Wednesday, and I hope he doesn't play back-to-back.
I doubt he will.
That's a tough one.
Ozhiganov.
I may just say O-Dog.
Well, he's the guy, though, to really be focused on for me. Like,
Looks like he may have maybe an inside track. Not an inside track, but they're going to give him every opportunity.
Yeah, it's him and Par Lindholm. Those are the two guys I don't know. I know Justin Hall. I know Borgman. I know Callie Rosen. Adam Cracknell's been in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys that I'm familiar with that I've seen play. I have never seen Par Lindholm play. Sounds like he's got the inside track on the fourth line center job, and I've never seen this Ozhiganov.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know them if they walked into the studio. So I'm looking forward to those two guys. Tomorrow night, McElhinney and Sparks are both going to be playing.
Yeah.
That's a battle, you know,
how
those two play. And maybe it's not going to matter that much unless one of them completely flames out.
Yeah.
I would assume they've made a decision one way or another, or they're leaning one way or another. But you know, if Sparks has a brutal camp, then I don't think you just hand him the backup job.
No, but I just feel bad for a guy like Curtis McElhinney, because I, no joke, have been in that spot. Older veteran guy being chased by a younger guy. McElhinney has done nothing in a Toronto Maple Leafs uniform for him to be fighting for his life as a Leaf. But that's the battle he's in. And once you're a backup and you reach a certain age and you've plateaued, every day is a battle. Remember last year they got Calvin Pickard? Everyone's like, oh, Pickard's going to come up and take the spot. Like, now, Sparks had a great season last year. Dubas was the manager down there, so they're, you know, Sparks may have the inside track. He is on a one-way contract, but they've got four goalies on one-way contracts, so the Leafs don't care about the financial situation of three of them. Freddie makes five, and then Curtis makes 900. I think Pickard and Sparks make 650, 700. That's trump change for MLSE. It doesn't matter. They can put them in the minors.
And it's not going to affect their cap because
they
have a backup that's outrageously overpriced.
Exactly. So that'll be an interesting, healthy battle there for sure.
Did you see, I want to make sure I get this properly, Kapanen's quote? I don't have it in front of me, but he said something along the lines. He was asked about what he's learning with his, I think, third camp, fourth camp with the Leafs now. He's 22. And maybe this was a translation issue, but I don't think so, because he speaks English really well. He's Finnish.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "What I found is I'm proving to myself that I deserve to play," end quote. And what I found strange about that is you don't have to prove to yourself that you can
play. You're proving to somebody else.
Yeah, basically saying, I'm trying to get it through Mike Babcock's head, but I think I'm good enough to play.
Right.
And I don't know why I'm not playing more. Or something like that.
Something like that. And maybe it was just the way it came up. What he was probably trying to intimate was, hey, I'm confident. I feel like I'm an NHLer. I'm ready to go. We've all heard that about Kapanen. You know, he's somewhere between confident and cocky. And last year he felt like he should have been in the league. And maybe he didn't handle the Marlies that well. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. There's a reason why he didn't go back with the Marlies for their playoff run.
Right.
Instead, he went to the World Championships. He was allowed to go there. Technically, he qualified. In terms of going back to play with the Marlies, but they decided not to send him there. But proving to myself I deserve to play, that's great. Prove to yourself all you want.
Yeah.
If Babcock and Dubas don't think he can play.
Yeah.
But I think he's pretty much locked in. I mean, I'd be surprised if Kapanen doesn't play. He should play. I don't see another winger.
No, he's an NHL player.
Yeah, he looks like he's ready to go to me. Guy was a big part of Game 7 of the playoffs last year. He was a big part of the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's...
against Washington.
I think he's an NHL player. Where his ceiling is still to be sorted out. Because he's not going to... When Nylander signs... He's not going to play above Marner or Nylander. So the best he can do is third line right wing. And Connor Brown's going to give him a push for that. The guy I feel bad for is like Josh Levo gets no love.
No
zero.
Play.
Did you hear what Mike Babcock said yesterday? He was going through a bunch of players. And they asked him about Levo. And he's like, guy works really hard. Like that's basically what he could come up with. Yeah, he's working real hard, Josh is. Like,
well, that to me sounds like Babcock's not even looking at him. Like, well, he doesn't like him. He
like,
doesn't
enough's
want him.
Enough with the kid. If you don't like him, let him go somewhere. We've seen this before with Frankie Corrado, Josh Levo last year, Josh Levo the year before. Like,
somebody
like,
likes
do you really
him,
want to, like, yeah.
Somebody gave him a 2-year deal. Like,
I think there
might have been Lou, but.
It was, but I think
it was
there'd
a 1-year
market
deal, wasn't it?
No,
well,
they
it was
gave
a 1-year extension
deal.
Last year, so
right.
He signed for 9 whatever.
It was an extension on top of
9 and
had.
A quarter.
So but it was in, like, October,
yeah,
though. That's
right
the
away.
Thing.
Like, and he took the security. And it was almost like they said to him, you're not going to play this very much this year, but we want to make sure. Like, I think he's almost circled, like, there's your 13th forward. There's
probably, and maybe he's fine with that. And maybe he isn't any better than that. We don't know. I mean, he's only
nobody
had so
knows.
Much opportunity. And when he's played, he looks like he's okay to me. He puts up some decent numbers. But clearly, Babcock has made it clear that he's not high on his list.
Right.
In terms of options right now. So, we'll see. They start playing tomorrow night. Then they're playing Wednesday in Ottawa. You're calling that game, I believe.
Yes, flying to Ottawa
so
Wednesday morning.
I would guess Matthews plays Wednesday. He's not playing
line.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, looks like I'll get the Matthews line. Matthews, Tyler Ennis, and
Patrick Marleau. Absolutely. Jays take 2 of 3 over the weekend. Gibbons tossed on Saturday. We'll get into that in the USA Today report. And speaking of Saturday, I was patting myself on the back. I'll tell you why.
And we're going to take one more call from the hotline.
You think so?
We're not going to pump this thing up and only do 2 of...
We've done a bunch of calls already today.
We're going to sprinkle it in all week.
No, we did more than... We did 2 off the top.
Hi.
Yeah.
Bye.
And we did another call from a guy that you're familiar with that we're not allowed to play anymore.
Right.
And then we did a couple of other calls. The hotline's been open, man.
We're not allowed to play anymore.
Right? We've been on fire with the hotline.
Yeah.
We'll see what else we have in the tank, okay?
All right, pal.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the Monday Nighter tonight. Seattle, Chicago. Some props under the number. Russell Wilson, 260.5 total yards passing. I think Khalil Mack and the Bears get after him again tonight. So over the number with Carson, the running back, 47.5 total yards rushing, and under the number total receptions for Brandon Marshall tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 101. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Saw a great tweet yesterday when the spread came out for Bills-Vikings. Bills in Minnesota, 16.5 point spread. Someone has placed the prop bet at total Bills players to quit at halftime, 1.5. Vegas with a prop bet on how many Bills retire at half.
You
Such
think we'll
an
see
embarrassment.
That? We won't see that again for...
Maybe in our lifetime.
I'll tell you what, this is our first survivor pool. I looked at the stats today. The first week, almost half the people are gone.
We're alive.
You're only 2 weeks in.
No, I understand, but people start...
There is a lot of people that get mopped up.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying.
What's your pick next week, then?
Vikings, Bills.
Vikings at home against the Bills. If you don't... Unless you've already picked the Vikings, if you don't play that game,
but what
you're
I don't understand
idiot.
Is...
Everyone's going to take
Don't you go with the secondary
lock?
Layup?
No,
that's
you don't.
The lock of the century.
Lock of the century.
No.
Yes,
don't
man.
Say
I'm
lock
get
of the
in
century.
I'm going to get all
you,
week.
No, don't even try.
And...
You're not going to be able to knock me off that take.
The lock of the century
yes.
is the Bills losing
in Minnesota against the Vikings. The Vikings are loaded with talent. They're a really good team. Do you see Kirk Cousins? I got to give him credit. He's throwing dimes yesterday in the fourth quarter.
He made one pass that was just outrageous.
Gross.
You
he looked
never
really
know,
good.
Though.
No, I'm
That's
telling you.
I
you
believe
know.
That there's a chance. By Friday, I'm going to have you guys second guess it.
You think so? The
well,
Bills are Lloyd
with your
Christmas.
Second. You go with your second.
Minnesota is Mary Swanson. All right?
And yes, one in a million.
Don't overthink it. So John Gibbons got tossed on Saturday. I would pay a lot of money for the audio just to know what he was saying to the ump. Because we called it. Remember a couple weeks ago we said, I'll bet you Gibby gets tossed at least one more time.
One or two more times.
Just more so for the rest of the league. Hey, yeah. I'm still invested. I'm a pro.
Yep.
I want to get out here and win some games if I see something I don't like. But I would guess he rolled out there to the ump and said, I'm going to yell really loud.
Yeah, just
I'm not
going to
say
game.
Anything. Just toss me. I've had enough.
They'll have like
I want to get into Manhattan.
You should get like plans. A professional lip reader to see what he actually yeah. said.
You know what he might have been yelling is, did you see this Bob Nightingale report that we could have traded Donaldson to St. Louis?
Yeah.
I would get tossed as well if I heard that, because this Jack Flaherty, who not many Jays fans were probably familiar with before, but now everyone's got a take that how could you possibly turn this down? And we don't know all the context, but what I found interesting about the Nightingale report was that he cited a Blue Jays source, which means...
Well, we talked about that earlier. There's been some people let go, some reshuffling in the scouting department.
It's the sometimes it's Gibby or the scouts.
It's Gibby or the scouts.
Yeah, sometimes when you are fired or shuffled around, on your way out, you want to put a little bug in someone's ear. By the way, I sat in a meeting, and this player was offered, and they said no.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, because there's no way Shapiro and Atkins want this news out.
Yeah.
And if they did, they wouldn't leak it to Bob Knight.
Have they responded to any of it? No.
No, I don't think they've been asked for a response. I mean, or anyone's been kicking tires on
well,
that.
Well, they're going to say that's completely not true.
Right.
There'll be a Mark Hunter sighting in London.
There could be.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, he didn't seem like he left disgruntled, but he.
Oh, you're saying he might throw the Leafs under the bus in terms of potentially
I don't think
what could happen?
I think he's a guy who keeps everything too tight to his vest. But I thought about that with the Leafs playing there. Like, Mark Hunter would be kicking around. It's his building.
Yeah, he'll be down there, I would assume, you know, in the London area. Why wouldn't he pop over, say hi to Kyle Dubas and Shanahan? And
I'm sure it's cordial. You know, that one went away. We all thought he was going to the island with mm-hmm. Lou, and he just went away.
Pretty crazy is if Lou started leaking stuff to the media about what could have happened and didn't
after
happen
after 30 years.
After 30 years of being a guy who only controls his message and doesn't want to give up anything, that would be proof that he really is sour about what happened in Toronto.
He would be his book would be a bestseller book if he.
But he'd be incriminating himself in a lot of it. You know, like if he was 100% honest, he'd have to be like, listen, I made this guy disappear in the 90s.
I manipulated this, I did that. Like, it would be awesome.
Yeah. That would be a book I would pay for. I wouldn't believe it was 100% candid because I don't think Lou has that type of DNA. I don't see him ever opening up for anything.
Right.
But if somehow truth serum made its way
into the
system.
Oh, if there was anybody that's been, like, through the bad years, the good years, through the Fergler years... If they had backdoor information, I'd read that book.
Oh, about the Maple Leafs and everything that's gone on? Absolutely, man. Well, I'd do that about almost any team, but especially a team in our backyard that we're
that's
so
what I mean,
aware
that
of.
You're so passionate
with.
About this organization.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome to just, if there was like a secretary who worked there for 40 years and.
Possible trades, possible signings.
Bodies are buried and knew where everything was. Like that's one tell-all book.
I just don't think there'd be anyone within the whole organization that would be privy to everything.
Right,
you know, what the owner's doing, what the manager's doing, what the coaches are doing, what the players are doing. Those are four different departments, you know, like four different operations.
Right. Four different angles.
Totally different worlds.
Yeah. I would be.
I'd be all over it, though, if I could.
That comes back to who would we want True Serum and have a beer with? Remember Babcock?
Yeah.
Lou, or is it like Morgan Riley? Maybe it's Shanny.
Well, there's been some great books out there. Jeff Perlman, I think, wrote that book about the Dallas Cowboys back in the early 90s. And
I didn't read it, but
he's got a new book out on the USFL with a lot of Trump material. Trump was one of the owners. We got to get Perlman on the show.
That would be neat.
He's got a ton of material about Trump going to war with owners. And it kind of, apparently, and I haven't read the book yet, but puts it into perspective why Trump hates on the NFL as much as he does, because he was hoping he'd buy into the USFL and then his team would be amalgamated into the NFL. And I guess they told Trump to take a lap. And he's just always been sour about that.
Yeah, is it football for a buck?
Yeah, that's
crazy.
What it is.
Rise and crazier demise of the USFL.
Yeah, apparently it's a great book, and Perlman's a guy. We'll get him on. He's been doing the rounds. He's plugging the book pretty heavily, so
that'd be good.
We should definitely get him on. Anyway, we hit the hotline today. I thought it was pretty good material.
We'll have more tomorrow, though.
We can do this as much as we want. I mean, if there are calls coming in and people have takes or questions or.
Well, the couple questions we had and hot takes today, I thought were really good.
You can only call on the weekend, right?
I got to give...
Well, no, you can call. It's open 24/7. You can call at any time. You can be calling during the show. If you're listening to the show and you're like, that was the dumbest take I've ever heard, call us and leave a message and we'll check it.
You got to get that a lot.
That's fine, man.
I got to give a shout out to people at Toys R Us. I was there yesterday.
Yeah?
The manager
closed.
Manager stopped me. Clinton, Antonio, Tina. They're fans of the show.
Shout out.
Shout out for them.
Yes.
Yeah, toys we all us. Have kids, by the way.
Exactly.
So if there's any free toys floating around.
We didn't need free
that's
toys.
That's not what we're looking for.
But it was,
yeah, we are.
It was awesome.
Gift cards.
Yeah. Gift cards are always the way to go. Anyway, I'll save my story for tomorrow. It's not that riveting from Saturday.
We'll it get really, into it.
There's nothing to it that's actually that exciting.
Tomorrow.
I played golf. It was hot. I wanted a nap. I didn't nap.
You slept.
I felt like I deserved a lot of credit.
Oh, wait
you
right?
didn't get the nap in?
No, man. I went home. The wife and kid were there. We had things going on. I was fixing that fence.
Moving and shaking.
45 under, not at golf, at the No Balls Open.
Do you know how hot it was on Saturday, too?
So hot.
It was scorching.
I stayed scorching in the house the whole day.
Scorching.
But
I
will say, to not do the nap, that's 45 under at the No Balls Open.
Oh, I disagree. That's what you call ammo for down the road.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to get into this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you know what time?
I'm aware of what time. 4 o'clock Eastern time?
Yes, sir.
We're going to chat then.
Morning from 6 to 10 and only on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.